Breaking: riot police swarm as protesters shut down universities at the beginning of Passover.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Yeah, so tensions are that high in New York City right now. And so we've got, again, Passover begins this evening at sundown, and Columbia University is telling its students not to be careful, but to actually go home. And we will do virtual class at least for the next couple of days, because we cannot control the riots and the anti-Jewish protest that are occurring on our campuses right now. And Logan, I mean, this is while New York has got a lot going on. You got the Trump trial going on. You've got Letitia James trying to get his bond thrown down. So you've got another trial there. But you've also got multiple universities. It's happening also, it's not just in New York, it's at America's top universities. It's happening at Yale University too, where Jewish students don't feel safe. And these pro-Hamas activist students have decided, let's choose Passover to make this a statement to the world and to the country that we stand with Hamas.
Yeah, I don't even think it's just those colleges. Those are the ones that get attention because they are the
top.
Supposed to be the top, the highest level of learning you could have in the country.
Right.
But they're the ones having to get texts overnight saying, hey guys, I think we need a reset. That's what I believe what the head of was at Columbia said. We need a reset. So everybody take the day. We're going to go. It probably looks like the week, potentially, the week of Passover.
Yeah,
we're going to find out. But we're going virtual. You know, thankfully, they learned how to do that. They're going virtual for the next day because of the escalation that's happened at Columbia. Obviously, we saw what happened at Yale as riot police swarmed and got people arrested. Chaos is breaking out. Anti-Semitism breaking out, like you said, and also in New York, you are having the Trump trial. We're going to talk about that as well coming up. So, yes, it is a packed show. We've got great guests coming up. We have Harry Hutchinson joining us, Jeff Balaban, CeCe Heil. All will be with us in the next hour, so stay tuned for that as we continue this discussion of what's happening. It really is sad. It's chaotic, and it's not localized to, this is one incident.
Yep.
This is not one incident like we brought up the Dearborn, Michigan, where they're chanting death to America. That is not one incident. That's what you hear about. So you hear about Yale, you hear about Columbia, but it's happening across the board.
No, but we've heard it from people have got their kids at universities all across the country that they are, again, you can hear it outside the university, whatever class you're in. These protests are occurring nonstop. They're going till late at night, and they are utilizing key times and key moments. So these students in New York, they know there's a lot of attention in New York right now. There's the Trump trials in New York right now. There's Passover in New York right now. There's a lot of Jewish students in New York right now. There's a lot of Muslim students in New York right now. So what do we do? Well, all these cameras, we'll protest, we'll say things that are extreme, we'll go on camera, but it's getting violent, Logan. I mean, we've had people that have been stabbed in the eye that have been on Fox, that had to go to the hospital. We're having classes shut down. And effectively, one of the students, I think, that was so sad that she said, one of my roommates for 3 years, it's like you've been a roommate for 3 years and they've joined the Nazi party.
That's crazy.
And they were my best friend for 3 years and they went and joined the Nazis. I mean, think about it like that. That's some of these friendships that are breaking up at these universities over, again, they say it's over what happened in Israel October 7th. That was just the moment utilized by these extremist groups to begin this movement.
Right, exactly. It's another politicized moment that can end your friendships, end your relationships, begin this sort of hate towards a group of people. We saw what happened, honestly, in last presidential election, and now we're seeing it on a wider scale. We're actually saying liberals have to deal with it, because you're saying a lot of these kids, these are liberal kids. These are not conservative kids who are coming there. These are kids who likely grew up in very liberal homes, very tolerant homes, now having to deal.
Say that New York is no longer a place safe for Jewish young people.
The number one place in the world for Jewish people. I think outside of Israel.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. 3110. Also, we are in the tail end now of the Life and Liberty Drive. Just hit 21,000 champions. We'll discuss that coming up. You can obviously support at aclj.org, but give us a call. Love to hear from you.
Shusekio. We talked about this at the college campuses, but we've also talked about how this has been in the major cities across the country. Really, October 7th, you would not think was the beginning of the moment you would see this hatred of Jews. But what we did say, Logan, was that after about a week, you would have the world kind of feel bad for the people of Israel because of the attacks were so extreme, but that once Israel began to respond to what Hamas did, and this carried over for right. a week, or then 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, and then it became 6 months, that suddenly the world would turn on Israel. And we've compiled kind of, I think, and our friends at Memory have compiled too, yep. how these protests have gotten so extreme just in the around New York. I mean, whether it's universities, in the streets, and in the subways. If you're watching this show, watch this. If you're listening, just listen.
Repeat after me.
We have Zionists.
We have Zionists.
We have Zionists.
Who have entered the camp.
Right, so we're shutting down, and Logan, what we're hearing is that more and more common areas are being shut down. Now,
this just
Columbia sent kids home.
Yeah, Columbia went to full virtual today.
Yep.
Harvard has announced that Harvard Yard, essentially the common areas, have been closed at least until Friday. And it, I mean, the headline.
Does that mean they're going to clear out all the protesters?
Well, I'm on the Harvard Crimson, like their paper website. It says Harvard Yard closed until Friday in anticipation of pro-Palestine protests. So that is the headline. We'll read more into that. But we're seeing now more and more this happening. Look, we saw it last week. I know we talked about it. You talked about it with Google, where there was the sit-in. And guess what happened? Mass firing of all those people. So maybe we're at the point of mass firing and arrests.
Yeah, that's what you'd hope. That's what I think you would hope. I want to go to Harry Hutchinson here because, Harry, you've worked in the university setting, but you said that you believe that really this was all kind of a precursor to something that's been set up but against Jewish students and Jewish professors for years, and that this is the culmination of that is what we're seeing at America's top universities, which are making so much news. And by the way, if it's happening at America's top universities, folks, it's happening at every university.
They're just the news gatherers.
Right.
You're precisely correct, Jordan. So what we have in the United States is basically a movement, and this movement has been set in motion over the last several years. So the movement is designed to classify Jews and supporters of Israel as oppressors. And the individuals in Palestine, for instance, the pro-Hamas individuals, they are now classified as what? Victims. And so in our American system, if you are classified as a victim, you gain political and moral power. And so at Columbia, we see individuals who are proudly supporting Hamas yelling, "Al-Qassam, you make us proud. Take another soldier out. We say justice. We say how. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too." And so all of this has happened after October 7th when Hamas launched an unprovoked assault on Israel. And now Israel is seen in the eyes of elites as the oppressor.
You know, I think what is interesting here, Logan, is that, again, you've seen it's taken extreme steps of violence for these schools to even step in. I mean, we've seen presidents of these schools fired.
Yeah, and there's actually...
because of anti-Semitism. We're seeing schools have to shut down and go virtual because of Passover now this week and protest. Yeah, they have lost control of their campuses. So they are saying two things. We cannot protect our students. We cannot protect our faculty.
Yeah, and I think there's a concern.
If you can't protect your students or your faculty, you have to shut down as a university.
Well, if you coming out of sort of the protest movements in the last handful of years, I think there's also probably concern within the faculty of going, what is our line? Where can we go? Because you don't want to be, you know, essentially labeled as on the wrong side of history, if you will, as a educational board. So you're going, where's our line? It was very clear for them what their line was 4 years ago or what their line is for specific. That's fine. But when you get this one that gets a little more nuanced.
Yeah, it gets a little more pro-Hamas.
Yeah, a little bit more supporting terror, not just anti-police or something like that.
It calls for the death of Jews.
It becomes a bit harder to deal with. And look, there are 45 colleges right now that the U.S. Department of Education has listed as under investigation for anti-Semitism. 45. I mean, I have the list. I can't read them to you because we would take too long.
And that means that the college itself is doing nothing or is actually fostering.
There's a reason to investigate. There's a reason to investigate. I mean, there are plenty on here. Like a lot of them kind of, as you'd expect, you know, coastal elite kind of universities. And that's just truth. Obviously, you have Columbia, Carnegie Mellon, you can go through here, Berkeley. We can go through all of them, but you'd expect, but 75. I mean, a huge group, or 45, excuse me, 45 currently under investigation.
Well, the other point I would make is that the Europeans are further along in fostering anti-Semitism. So what we are seeing in the United States, in many respects, just scratches the surface of what's going on in Europe. And so one of the things that I think the American people and supporters of the ACLJ should keep in mind is that this is a particularly important moment in history. And I think the American people should respond to the vitriol and the hatred, which is expanding in the world right now. So it is alarming. If you look at what's going on at Yale University, at Columbia, if you look at the death to America and death to Israel chants in Dearborn, Michigan. And many elites are basically responding positively to these developments, which suggests that hatred of Jews has now become more and more mainstream.
You know, we have not seen anti-Semitism like this since World War II. It's a moment to defend Israel and Jewish students being attacked, especially right here in the United States on campuses. I mean, they're here at home. The fact is, this is the United States of America where this is happening. We are not reporting about Iran saying, you know, there's these protests about killing Jews. This is New York. This is Harvard. This is Boston. This is in Cambridge. I mean, this is, again, the United States of America. This is our school saying, we can't keep you safe, and it's Passover these next couple of days, so just go and have virtual school because we've got to have a reset on campus. That's what's happening at Columbia. We are fighting back at the ACLJ. You know, we succeeded in securing religious accommodations during Passover at Georgia State University.
Yeah, we just talked about that. That happened just a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Georgia State said, no, we're going to have exams during Passover. Sorry, Jewish students. And we were able to step in and really very quickly get them to reverse that. So much so that they had to blast it out to their entire student body and say, hey, we will actually be accommodating those. So know that we're on that.
We also got demand letters out to 32 countries calling on them to designate Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist group and impose new sanctions over the direct attack on Israel. Now, Israel's responded. I mean, we've been active there internationally. We've been active in our own schools. We've also gotten inside the UN. We're going to talk to Cece Heil about this too later in the broadcast as well. But Logan, what is important here is what we're seeing inside our own country, which is this should be a country where whether you're in New York or Atlanta or Nashville or Los Angeles or Kansas City or wherever you are, Chicago, that it should be safe to be Jewish in the United States of America during Passover, even if there's controversy over what is going on in Israel and the Palestinian territories. It should be safe to be Jewish here.
Yeah, you think so. And you know, you are. This is the first night of Passover. This is when it all begins for a lot of the Jewish people. I was in Florida over the weekend, in sort of a gated vacation area where a lot of Jewish people have, especially Orthodox, have come there specifically because it is safe. It is gated. They can take care of, you know, they can feel safe to be openly Jewish walking around. And when you say that, I mean, those are Orthodox. It's very clear, you know, in what you're wearing and those kind of things, traditional garb. We want to be there for people, though, when they are in need. And right now, look, we have ACLJ Jerusalem. That was obviously very important. It was always important. We didn't think we'd honestly need to activate essentially what we've been doing at ACLJ Jerusalem in our own country. But we're having to right now. And during this Life and Liberty Drive, which we are just, is what, 10 days, 8 days left in the Life and Liberty Drive, where all donations are doubled. You can be a part of it right now. As you, as Jordan said, we have sent demand letters to 32 countries calling on them to designate the Islamic Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist group. We obviously succeeded in that Georgia State University, a situation for kids who just wanted to celebrate Passover and were being denied.
Help here, Logan, we can help them. ACLJ.org/help. If you're one of these students that's been attacked on these campuses, you need to contact us. Jeff Balaban's coming up
absolutely.
Next. And we've been representing these students at no cost to them.
Yeah, I'll make sure that's clear. The reason it's no cost is because we get support from you. So ACLJ.org/help. If you know any students that are having these, obviously attacks on them, tell them to go that way, and we will represent them at absolutely no cost. But we couldn't do that without your generous support and without people that are willing to step up right now. And during our Life and Liberty Drive, as I said, all donations are doubled. And we also encourage you, if you can, become an ACLJ champion. Over 21,000 of you have. Creates a great baseline each and every month for us. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Secio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Jeff Balaban. Jeff, again, you oversee our office at ACLJ Jerusalem. You're also in New York, and this is a time You've attended a lot of these universities, Yale Law School. You've had a son who's attended Columbia Law School. And we're seeing them have to, close down. Harvard Squares had to shut down the open area there, which has basically been taken over like a tent city, which I guess they'll be clearing out. Columbia is doing, at-home schooling. But you've actually tied this as well to what the administration's been doing, which is that I do want you to point out that the Biden administration, along with Secretary Blinken, has called out a specific division within the IDF that they want to sanction and call out specifically. And it's a religious division of the IDF that they want to call out specifically for potential acts of violence and even war crimes.
Yeah, Jordan, it's totally baseless. The leadership, the civilian leadership in Israel and the military leadership in Israel has rallied around saying there's no basis for this. They're furious at what Joe Biden has done. And they've singled out, Biden and Blinken have singled out this battalion, which is famous for being a battalion. A lot of the, what they call ultra-Orthodox, the most right-wing religious Israelis, don't serve in the army because the army itself, the environment isn't conducive. So they created this in order to be able to be religious. They're fully observant, et cetera. They're considered excellent soldiers, highly moral, et cetera, et cetera. And here they are singling out, and there's no doubt in my mind, I don't have evidence of this, there's no doubt in my mind that somebody's feeding these libels to the Biden administration. But from the beginning, Jordan, what Biden has done and what Blinken has done is they wag their fingers at Israel. They suggest every time Hamas claims something, which we know to be false, it's always proven false, they blame Israel for something, and Joe Biden will wag his finger at Israel or Blinken will wag a finger, and that, the problem is, it not only promotes hatred, incitement, and justification for violence against Jews around the world, but it's doing so here in New York. And let's be clear, they don't hate Israel because of anything Israel does. They hate Israel because it's Jewish. They don't hate the Jews because of Israel or anything Israel does. They hate the Jews because we're Jews. And this has been, it's the oldest hatred, and it's manifesting itself again now. And what Biden and Blinken are doing, they're pouring fuel on the flames by inciting through libels and slanders against the army, and that has repercussions here in America.
Yeah, it seems like a very bad time to be calling out, and trying to be so unique and saying, Logan, hey, let's call it this specific division at the IDF. And this is an IDF division that happens to be very religious, and we're going to say, well, we don't like what they're doing. And like, people are being right now so specific in their protests when they're calling for the death of Jews and the death of Israel and the destruction of Israel. Can we take Chris's call from Washington State online too? Hey, Chris, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you. And my question is that we have allowed the people to come after the Jewish people in our country, and they're not being protected by the military. and our freeways are being shut down, like the Golden Gate Bridge the other day. They block the freeways, and so why don't we do something about that? Because all I hear is talk, 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 and nobody.
Let me say something, Chris, because here, Jeff, I want to make it clear, if you go to aclj.org/help, and that's why I took Chris's call, Jeff, we are doing something about that. If you contact us, if you need help, we represent these students, we represent faculty as well, and we fight back, and we get their rights restored. So we don't just talk, talk, talk. We fight, fight, fight.
That's right. I'm in discussions, and haven't, you know, this didn't start this week. The truth is, we saw this at CUNY, at City University of New York, and other universities, which have very large Jewish populations, but also have large Muslim populations, or just happen to have large progressive and very woke populations. This has been building and building, and now it's become street violence. And so, yes, we've been dealing with individual students, with faculty, with groups of them, advising them, guiding them, sometimes representing them in litigation. We're working on policy across the board. We are, in fact, fighting every single day because this has become a global war against Jews, and the biggest population of Jews outside Israel is America.
You know, Jeff, one of those other issues I want to talk about as well is we saw that it gets kind of like to this point where it gets out of control. And then the schools say, you know what, we'll shut down. They know they're going to get a lot of attention from Congress. Congressman Stefani from New York's done a great job of doing that. Bringing attention, but it's still happening at these schools to the point where they are either saying we're going to have to shut down the university itself, send in riot police. I mean, if you're identified as an Orthodox Jew or Jewish right now, and you try to just walk through one of these protests right now, you can be injured. You can be beaten. And this is the schools have effectively lost control.
Jordan, it's literally the case that there people are showing images now of what it looked like in Hitler's Nazi Germany in the late 30s, where you'd see students wearing Nazi armbands, wearing swastikas, and doing literally the exact same things to Jewish students on campus. Now they're wearing keffiyehs, which is, of course, the Arab-Palestinian symbol for terror and violence. It's not a religious garb, which people claim. It's not religious. It is actually a political statement, and it's a statement of terror, statement of genocide against the Jews. And it's ubiquitous now, and it is not just like what we saw in Germany. I mean, the truth is, I come from a Holocaust survivor family. I know, Jordan, your family also comes from that part of the world. And the fact is, we are seeing what's happening now, and I can say it is not as bad. It looks like it's worse, because we have the Holocaust in the rearview mirror. We know exactly what that leads to, and yet, more and more, this is growing in popularity around the world. And so unless America steps up, and your caller was right, why aren't people doing something? The mayor of New York decries it, says it's terrible, but he can't send in the NYPD because Columbia is a private university campus. That's outrageous. That's outrageous. So instead they're saying, don't go to campus. Listen, when Biden was running, because of the mainstreaming of anti-Semitism in Democratic politics, one of his Jewish advisors actually put out the word, maybe Jews in America should stop wearing their yarmulkes or their Jewish stars. That's nuts. That's not what America's supposed to be.
No, it is not. And listen, I mean, Logan, where you're going to fight back at the ACLJ, listen, I have a star David on right now. And I do think twice a little bit now. Where I am, most places I don't think it's an issue, but I sometimes, I'm with my kids or things like that, you know, you say, hey, maybe I'll just push it to the side a little bit more there. That's something that I would have ever had
you
to do in the United States
before.
Of America.
No, you never have thought about that before. And thankfully, there are still areas in this country that don't feel that way. I was in Central Florida over the weekend. Like I said, as you drove through sort of the more rural areas, it's pretty amazing. You've seen that in Tennessee here, too. And look, thank Johnny Cash, if you want to go back to the history. That Israel, the support of Israel is still so strong.
Yep.
So you're driving through what you consider rural Florida, and you see, you know, Israeli flags flying. It really, there are still those glimmers of hope of going, okay, they can paint that those are the areas, the, you know, Central Florida and sort of maybe areas that are considered lower income, that's where racism is, and that's where they're, but really, when you dive in, you know where it is. It's coming out of the Ivy Leagues way more than it is coming out of essentially a trailer park in Central Florida.
The most expensive cities in our country are the ones right now that are most overrun by radical groups.
Yeah. Jeff, yeah.
Today I was feeding a meter and somebody just walked by, sees my yarmulke and says, God bless you. We live in a crazy world, but have a beautiful Passover. And I love that. And that's what the people who support ACLJ, that's the kind of people. We need them to step up and help, because this is what is happening to America, and ACLJ is fighting it.
Yeah, we need those kind of statements into action. You can support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. And again, right now, folks, double that impact during our Life and Liberty Drive. We'll be right back. Second half hour of Seculo coming up.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
And if you didn't think New York was crazy enough right now with these protests with the Palestinians, throw two Trump trials in a day, Logan.
I know. If you're looking at the news, it's like they're showing a live shot of New York, you know, and a live shot of New York. And it's just different levels of protests. Similar crowds.
It started 7 a.m. for me today with the first discussion on Newsmax of what it would be like today for the Trump trial with Alvin Bragg. So this one is the first day that you've got both the prosecutors and the defense are putting forward their opening statements. Then the prosecution will put forward on its case, and the defense will then put on its case. But they are actually closing early today at 2 o'clock today and tomorrow because of Passover.
Right.
So you've got that happening in New York, but you've also got a second Trump case going on. Letitia James tried to have the Trump bail bond thrown out. You know, got cut down from $550 million to $165 million. But she doesn't like the guy's company who's come in and said, we can actually handle the $165 million. And it's that judge again who wanted it to be $550 million. Yeah. Who is now going to say what? That they don't trust this billionaire guy to insure $150 million? So that's all happening in New York right now, Logan. And we'll get into more of the Trump stuff in the next week so people kind of know, like, where does that stand? That's all happening in the same city where these protests are happening. Yeah. I mean, it kind of feels out of control.
Yeah, in the next segment, we're going to be joined by CeCe Hyle, who's going to come in as well. But we're going to continue, especially at the end, talk more about the Trump situation. If you have a question or comment related to any of these topics, Israel, obviously Trump on trial, all the stuff that's happening right now, seems like it's all centered in New York. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. We're going to take all those calls, as many as we can, at the end of the show, the last segment, which is only a few minutes away. So 1-800-684-3110. Go get in line because we're going to take all those calls we can to the end of the show. But let's go ahead and take one. Let's go to Whitney in Texas watching on Rumble. Thank you. We love Rumble. Rumble, free speech platform. Whitney, you're on the air.
Thanks so much. You know, I went to Columbia 30 years ago and graduated from there. And when I was there, we had a kosher dining hall, and there would be residential halls that were dark from, you know, Friday evening through Saturday because students were actively practicing Sabbath. And you've got buildings that are called Altschul and Lehman and Sulzberger. So, you know, it's ironic that these students have these opportunities and these facilities because of the generosity of Jews. And I guess my question for the president would be, you need to take a reset. Well, what are you resetting to? 20 years ago, before your faculty started indoctrinating students? And you know, these Jewish students who are Orthodox, of course, are identifiably Jewish, but also identifiably conservative. So I'm wondering if it's even broader than anti-Semitism. You know, maybe if the Christian students were more identifiable, they'd be attacked as well. It seems like it's, you know, it's anti-Semitic and anti-conservative.
Yeah, I think, listen, a lot has changed since all of us have gone to universities. I mean, it doesn't feel like that long ago. I was at school in Washington, D.C. We are another school, GW, which has a very large Jewish student population. And again, I wouldn't imagine right now, I know that there have been horrific things put up on buildings named after Jewish donors to the school, projected onto the library, that were horrendous against Jews. I mean, yes, taken down ultimately, but this would not have happened, you know, 15, 20 years ago when I was there. 25 years ago, maybe, was there. And you have to wonder now, like, you know, we have younger kids, not that young, but like, where are they going to go where you feel like they're going to not
there's a lot of like calls.
You have to accept this, at least accept this hatred to even move on so that you don't get attacked while you're walking through campus.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the Instagrams I follow. I follow a lot of accounts that are like sort of Zionist groups, and a lot of them were saying, hey, you know, this may be the time when we need to start essentially making the yeshivas, the Ivy League versions of this. But that obviously doesn't really represent a lot of people who feel this way. That would just be for very specific students. But you do wish you had more I guess you'd say traditionally conservative outlets at the highest level of education.
I wonder that as well. Is would more conservative places also tie into the fact that, and it's not really true though, that you necessarily have to be conservative to be pro-Jewish, but it's starting to feel that way.
But hey, we are in the final days of our Life and Liberty Drive. Join us right now, ACLJ.org. We're going to talk about that a lot more coming up. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back. I did want to encourage everyone who's watching on YouTube right now. They just put up a brand new poll. I'm going to ask you all to vote in this poll right now, which as do the Trump matter. So I know a lot of you have questions or comments about that. I'm going to ask you to engage in that poll so we can get a reading. Those are always great. When you see those polls pop up, that's because we are trying to check with our audience of how you're feeling. We want to know your feelings on current situations. So do that right now. Vote in that poll. And also get in line. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. We got two lines open right now. And after this segment, we'll take as many of those calls as possible. Jordan, we have CeCe Heil joining us with some ACLJ-related news.
Yeah, that's right. And I do want to get to this, CeCe, because I think it's important. And I also think when we see all this craziness, and I do want people to take the poll because I've been following the trial really closely. If people want more information about that, we don't have cameras there, only reporters. So
yeah, I wanted to bring that up.
Real quick.
People are asking, and I was calling our guys like, are we going to see this? Why wouldn't we see this?
You're not going to hear sound. You're not going to see images or video. So there's nothing live. It's not like what was happening in Georgia, and that's specific to New York, and that's because of the witnesses and as well the jury. So reporters are allowed in, so they will then give their opinion of what happened today, you know, and what happened tomorrow, and then you'll have to kind of take it in. And I think, again, go to trusted news sources. Don't go overly obsessive with all this stuff. Realize, again, that we're just going to get probably opening statements. Might get to one witness, Pecker, today, who, again, comes from the pretty wild times in the news of the world. But he's no longer, he's not with those companies. And, again, that's if both the prosecutors and the defense get through their opening statements, that you would then go to the prosecution. They'd bring their first witness. Supposedly, he is their first witness. We don't know that 100%, but that did leak. We don't even have a witness list. Yep. Usually you have that. We don't even have a 100% confirmed witness list, Logan. But we do know that the trial is beginning, and it will not go very long today, only till about 2 p.m. Eastern time. I do want to go to CeCe Heil as well. And CeCe, this is important, and I think it's we want to make sure it's clear for our audience because they – want to know what we're doing, that we are taking action on Iran. You know, this is also huge news. The fact that Israel hit back against Iran, and Iran, while threatening Israel, did nothing in response. So what did we see? We saw two things happen, Logan. I think it's a very important, and why our letter is also important. One, we saw that Israel's defenses, while working with the world, could basically take down all of Iran's aggressive acts. We also saw that Iran could not stop any of Israel's aggressive acts, including aggressive acts that were right next to their nuclear facilities. So, I mean, think about the fact they couldn't shoot down one Israeli. Their defenses didn't work. It shows Israel kind of showed what they could do without having to do it. And so far, we have not seen a response yet back from Iran. And CeCe, we also are getting strong, though, at international organizations where the ACLJ and ECLJ have combined to say that we've got to get sanctions and designate the IRGC as a terrorist organization, not just from the U.S., but from more countries around the world.
Yeah, so we sent this letter to the United Nations. We're going to send it to over 40 member states and every member that's on the Security Council. And as we know, the United Nations makes more resolutions condemning Israel than any other member state. So we want to point out to them that their own Security Council resolutions, actually Security Council Resolution 1373, condemns terrorist attacks and reaffirms the inherent right to self-defense and requires that all member states prevent and suppress the financing of terrorist acts, as well as freeze funds and other financial assets or economic resources to anyone who participates or facilitates terrorist acts. So we're pointing out that Iran funds, facilitates, and participates in terrorist acts, and under their own resolution, it requires that member states actually have sanctions and do take other steps to punish Iran. And we call on the member states to do that.
Yeah, I mean, what we are really looking for is economic sanctions. We know that's what really hurts Iran. I mean, they have been, to an extent, Assisi, they have been embarrassed. I mean, when you fired Israel and everything that you fire 1,000 drones and you fire ballistic missiles and there, nothing hits, right? And then Israel responds and none of your defenses work. So you don't even pick up on it. You can say all the crazy stuff you want to say, but the reality is the crazy stuff you want to say, you can't actually accomplish. Now, does that mean that they're not dangerous? No, because of course, if they have billions of dollars to spread around CC, they go to groups like Hamas,
yes,
who don't need really expensive equipment to go and kill. What we saw were 1,000, more than 1,000 Jews in one day and take hundreds of hostages,
yeah,
many which are now dead.
That's right. And they fund not only Hamas, but Hezbollah and the Houthis. And so it's every single terrorist that is attacking and targeting Israel that all, like I think one of the former prime ministers said from Israel, that Iran is basically the head of the terrorist octopus, that's they're the head and they're the ones that are funding it. They're the ones that are controlling it and targeting Israel. But make no mistake, they'll be coming after America next. Because we're the actual big Satan. Israel's the small Satan. So we just continue to point out that you cannot let Iran get away with this. And you're exactly right. Sanctioning them, economic sanctions, punishing them is the way to do it. And it has to be a concerted effort from all the member states.
Yeah, I also want to encourage everyone, as we said, you know, this is the incredible work that the ACLJ and the ECLJ does for you. And if you need legal help, if you're one of these students, by the way, or you're a parent of one of these students, we'd love for you to reach out to us right now, aclj.org/help. We're trying to do what we can. I know a lot of people said, well, what can we do in these campuses? There's a lot of those calls saying that.
Uh-huh.
You know, what we can do is if we can have clients, we can represent them and really take it to the universities is what you can do. So do that right now. Go to aclj.org/help or encourage people to do that during the Life and Liberty Drive. I also right now want to tell you, we have two lines open. And we're going to take as many calls as we can in the next segment. So go ahead and give us a call. If it's about one of the related topics, that would be great. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching on Rumble, you can call in as well. We'd love that. Also, you can hit that thumbs up, vote in the poll, do those kind of things. Every time you interact,
yep,
comment, tell us where you're watching from. I know that sounds ridiculous, but every time there's a comment, that helps more people see this show. So if you could right now, just do that in the chat. If you have nothing to say and you don't know what else to say, I know thousands of you watch and just want to be educated. That's great. Tell us where you're watching from. I'd love to hear worldwide where you're coming from. Maybe you're coming from New York. Maybe you're looking out your window right now, like people we know looking out their window, seeing these, yeah, protests on the streets. Let us know in the chat right now.
You know, I think what's also unique about this, Logan, is you've got President Trump's trial. Yeah. This is the first criminal trial. This criminal trial wants to be done in about 8 to 9 weeks. I mean, this is where they would like to put him behind bars.
So it would take us to, you know,
midsummer,
in about 9 weeks, and then you're about, what, 3-4 months from the general election?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just one trial. I mean, so, and this is another one that, again, this wants to put him behind bars. This is not a civil trial. This is a criminal trial by Alvin Bragg. So, again, it kind of got ahead of where we thought things were going to move, and it started moving much quicker when they got the jury selected a lot quicker than they thought that was going to happen. It only took about 2 days, 2.5 days, and people thought it might even take over a week, plus this Passover week, things like that, that would slow things potentially down. There's been some issues with the judge there as well. Those did get picked up. So we can talk about that as well throughout this week. We're not going to ignore, of course, that trial. In fact, I've been doing it and talking about it since very early this morning when I was on Newsmax. At our time, it was 6:58 a.m.
Yeah, well, I'm watching. There are people watching right now from all over the country and around the world. We've got people watching in Alaska, Puerto Rico, the UK, people who want to be educated on what's happening because, as we know, it is different, even in somewhere like the UK. You may not hear as much of their news over here, but Donald Trump and American news, it makes quite an impact.
Oh,
dominates a lot of what's going on in the worldwide.
Beaten up on major university college campuses in the United States, and Donald Trump is on criminal trial here in the U.S., and it all happens to be during Passover in New York City. It's making news around the world. And by the way, not necessarily positive news about the United States.
No.
It plays into some of the worst about what how these anti-Jewish and anti-Israel groups want people to think about the United States. They want them to think, you know, they don't want the Jews either, really. See, during Passover, look what their top universities and schools do. They want those Jews out. Get out. We don't want to make it be a safe place for you. We want this to be a dangerous place for you. And it's why the ACLJ has opened up and said, if you need help, if you need assistance, we're not going to charge you. Just come to us, whether you're a student, whether you're faculty, aclj.org/help. We've helped so many of these students before, so many of these faculty before, some very publicly, some very behind the scenes, whatever is necessary from the Jewish community.
Yeah, but you can have your gifts doubled right now. All you have to do is make any donation of any kind at aclj.org during our Life and Liberty Drive, and there's only a few days left. It just goes till the end of this month. Again, aclj.org/Life and Liberty. You can do that or just scan the code right now. You'll see a QR code if you're watching on YouTube or you're watching on Rumble. You can do that. Donations are doubled. You can also become a recurring member.
And it looks like President Trump, his trial has wrapped for the day. They're going to wrap early.
Early.
So I wonder if they just did the open prosecution opening, right?
We'll discuss it coming up in the next segment, so yeah, stay tuned.
Too secular. Interesting today. Now, we knew that the Trump trial, this is the Alvin Bragg trial, would end at least by 2 p.m. today. So what we've heard now from the trial, there's no video and there's no audio for this trial. So you just get regular reporting. And of course, President Trump came out after the trial, decided to close it for the day. You've had the opening statements now done by both the prosecution and the defense. They have also called their first witness. Then President Trump decided he would speak to the press. Can we play that for some of our audience? I think that's important just to kind of, again, see his kind of reaction to his first day in court.
Speaking, court is over for the day. Let's watch.
Thank you.
And they call it a legal expense. That's the exact term they use, legal expense in the books. And another thing that wasn't even said was, we never even deducted it as a tax deduction. So that takes a whole vast area. Most people want to deduct everything. We never even took it as a tax deduction. But they call the payment to a lawyer a legal expense in the books. They didn't call it construction. They didn't say you're building a building. It called a payment to a lawyer because, as you know, Cohn is a lawyer. Represented a lot of people over the years. Now, I'm not the only one. And wasn't very good in a lot of ways in terms of his representation. But he represented a lot of people.
This is over whether or not when he put down the expense to Stephanie Richards, Stormy Daniels, for her to be quiet about whether or not she had this relationship, which she in the past has said she hadn't had. All it was did he put the expense down correctly? Now remember, that was the initial charge was, did you do the right business expense? To make it a felony, that's just a misdemeanor. You pay a fine. To make it a felony, they had to tie it to a federal election crime. And so 34 of these incidents, because of the 34 payments that they're trying to make into an election crime, again, I think we'll hear from reporters. I don't think you're getting a lot from today. You're going to get, again, witness one. Yeah. You're going to get some wild witnesses in this one. I mean, you're getting Stormy Daniels, Cohen, Pecker, guys from, I mean, you know, the news of the world and the National Enquirer. I mean, it is it's about as Trump as it can get. If you were going to put a Trump trial
you'd
together.
Wish that it was televised. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls.
It almost feels like it'd be something, it would be in the middle of Ghostbusters. Like Ghostbusters 3, this is just part of it.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Maybe he didn't like that. Let's go to Ann in Pennsylvania, line 2. Ann, you're on the air.
I didn't like Ghostbusters 3 because that was it.
Hey, guys. It's such an honor. This lawfare against Trump, this needs to go away.
Sure.
But before I get to my question, this Jew hate and the normalizing of it all is such an abomination and appalling. I believe, both morally and spiritually. So when New York City state officials in general are not doing their job on combating Jew hate, this goes completely against the Constitution. So when colleges and state officials fail to step up, I believe Congress and courts come into play. This is where you guys have helped so greatly in many, many different ways. So would you agree, this is my question, so would you agree that probably the best thing to do right now would be defunding from the private sector? That means parents who are funding their children's college education, right? Because there's many reasons why colleges, in my opinion, should be defunded, okay? So now, and on a state level, do you think the defunding is necessary and would have a huge impact on getting them to at least
stop the program? We've seen that from Elise Stefanik. We saw Congress say, get rid of these university presidents. And guess what happened, Logan? They've been getting rid of these university presidents. And
even the private.
Columbia has come under attack. Yes, these are private institutions, but they take federal dollars, so they have to come testify. Remember, that and was when they wouldn't clearly condemn anti-Semitism on campus or support for Hamas.
Yeah, it was
as anti-Semitism.
They said, we hate all Jews, which means we're not singling out a student, an individual student, which would be a hate crime.
It was crazy.
Let's go ahead and continue on. So many of you guys have called. Thomas is calling from New York.
But Congress is on it now, Logan.
Yeah, for sure.
This is not something that we're just ignoring anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Thomas, who I think was very clear to say he's from New York State, not New York City. Thomas, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you. My wife and I were longtime monthly supporters.
Thank you.
And we're just very upset by what's happening on these college campuses, so close to home even. Yeah. What's the best thing for us to do?
Fight back. You want to support groups like the ACLJ. So we have been involved in the City University of New York system, the State University of New York system, the private system in New York, fighting back for students' rights, faculty rights. And I think you're just going to see that fight, Logan, is going to get a lot more intense. It's going to get a lot more attention. It's going to get a lot more heated. And unfortunately, I think these Jewish students are going to have to decide to make sure that this is a country that they have their rights protected in, that they're going to have to say, I'm willing to fight back. I'm willing to, if I need it, go to the ACLJ, get the legal assistance I need, and file the lawsuit if I have to make sure I feel safe and that I've got my constitutional rights in the United States of America.
Yeah, and Deborah on watching on YouTube in Texas on line one, I want to go to her because she actually has a question about that and the legal standing. Yeah. Go ahead, Deborah.
Okay. Hey, guys, I just want to say thank you so much for what you do for standing up for the legal rights of America.
Sure.
I've got to say, I pray for Trump every day. They're doing him a total, total horrible disservice. But my question is, these rights that are going on at these colleges, who has the legal authority to stop this? I mean,
the colleges.
This is horrible.
The colleges. They've got campus police, which are actual real police. They've got riot police at some of these schools. These are in major cities. You've got the metro police, city police. They all have enough resources to shut the bad actors down. It's not like there's 3 million bad actors. In a lot of these places, it's 400 and 500 people.
Yep.
But you do have to commit the police to getting involved with them, Logan. Sometimes that means some violence.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, everybody goes away peacefully. And these liberal schools, what they can't also stand is showing police actually arresting people and police violence.
Right. They have to figure out how to deal with this kind of protest. They don't know what to do. Let's wrap it up with Julie in Florida on line one. Line six. Julie, you are on the air. Final call. Sorry, Charlie, we didn't get you. Call back tomorrow. We'll get you up front. Julie, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Love you. Watch you all the time. Sign petitions, people. Donate. Do whatever you can, because this is the only way we can fight. My question is, why for months and months we heard about mega extremists, how bad we were. We were violent. They were talking about it on the news. They were talking about it, the Biden administration. Why is nobody bringing this up? What they are doing to our Jewish community, people.
Well, I think we are starting to do it. I mean, I think that's what we're doing in Congress. That's what Republicans are doing in Congress. We're having the hearings about what are happening at the universities. We're saying this is what's happening in Passover. The first day of Passover, and Columbia University has to go virtual because they can't get their university under control because of the hatred of Jews on campus, and they're worried about more Jews being physically and violently injured. Not just hearing bad things, but literally being injured and someone even getting killed. So we've got to fight back. Then you have to fight for your rights. That's what we do at the ACLJ, Logan, during our Life and Liberty Drive.
Yeah, it's wrapping up right now.
Double the impact right now at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. Go to ACLJ.org and donate today.